God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Yes, it's the first Sunday in July, and we're back looking at what is God. And this month, we're looking at God's wisdom. We've looked at things about God that can only be true about God. His infinity, his eternity, how he's unchangeable. Now we're going to look at things that we can share in, the attributes of God that we can be like. And so we're going to look now at God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his wisdom. God is wise, and our text is Romans 16, verses 25 to 27. Romans 16, verses 25 to 27. Let's hear God's word. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. O God, you are eternal, the eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you are the only wise God. And we pray that in your wisdom you would speak to us now through your word by the Holy Spirit, and that you would make us wise unto salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God's wisdom. We're going to look at 3 points. What is it? Examples and applications. What is God's wisdom? Some examples of God's wisdom, some applications of God's wisdom. So, what is it? Wisdom is very closely linked to knowledge. Now, we looked at how God knows everything when we looked at God's infinity. I think that's one of the ways God is completely different to us. How God can know everything outside of time. And so we submit our reason to that and say, yes, I believe it. People say, how can you believe in something you don't understand? Well, I don't understand how my computer works, but I believe it does. It's no good rejecting something because you don't understand it. So that's what we mean by knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. You remember in my sermons, I always give you applications at the end. Now that we've discussed what we've been discussing, what are we going to do with it? Well, that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. It's God's doing, applying what he knows. Because God knows everything, he does this. And he does things in a way that pursue his glory and our good, which is God's ultimate aim. The glory of his name and the salvation of the elect. And God's wisdom is seen in how that is pursued, and indeed that is complete. Praise God's wisdom. So as I say, knowledge, a really good way Louis Berkhof puts it is, knowledge is theory, wisdom is practice. For example, a young person may learn a trade. At the factory I work at, we have apprentices, engineering apprentices. And they come and learn a skill. They learn a skill at college, and then they come and bring that skill, all that they've learned, into the workplace. And they apply it. And indeed, as humans, we know that we share knowledge. So the young lads will ask the older engineers who have more experience for help. God doesn't need any help because he knows everything. An engineer at the factory will ask an older engineer because they have, the older engineers have more experience, they have more wisdom, they have more practice at applying the principles that they learned at college. But as I say, God, because God knows everything, he applies his knowledge perfectly and he doesn't need any help. That's what scripture says over and over again. Who can give counsel to the Lord? No one. So that's basically what wisdom is. It's the application of God's knowledge. And it's the application of God's knowledge to pursue the purpose of his glory. So what are the examples? Point two, examples. We call wonderful works of God. Wonderful. And there are several creation, providence, redemption. And I'll explain what all those terms mean. Creation is fairly obvious. How God created everything. We believe that God is the creator and sustainer of all things. By understanding and wisdom, he created the world, Proverbs 3 says. He knows everything and so created all things to reveal who he is. It's one thing that we have to be clear about from the outset. God created the universe for him, not for us. Yes, he's blessed us with many things. He's blessed us with many good things. But the ultimate aim of creation is his glory. Well, I'll say more about that in a minute. All things were created through him and for him. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19:1 says. It shows us God's glory in his wisdom. His wisdom in the laws of nature, in how things work, in that seasons follow seasons, in providing those ways of eating and drinking and clothing and sheltering. And not just in the creation, as in the universe and everything in it, but also what we call God's law. One philosopher said there was two things, even at the end of his life, stop destroying him. Him, or within the God is on our hearts. And we all have a sense of justice, compassion, love, empathy. We all have those characteristics across societies. Every society and religion has a way of saying, love your neighbour as yourself. It's not hard to see why, because as Christians we believe that God has planted that in our hearts by nature. So the creation shows the wisdom of God. Indeed, it's a sad truth to say that two atheist scientists, Lawrence Krauss and Stephen Hawking, made me think, wow, God's amazing. They didn't mean to, but they did. Lawrence Krauss said in a documentary I saw that the chances of getting life on Earth were like rolling two sixes with two dice. But each dice has hundreds of thousands of sides. And Stephen Hawking said that if the Big Bang was a little bit stronger or a little bit weaker, the universe would have collapsed in on itself. So there's several things in the physical universe that are just so to allow for the creation of life. We call it the fine-tuning. And that shows us the wisdom of God. The other thing that shows us the wisdom of God, as the philosopher Kant says, is the moral law on our hearts. This shows us the wisdom of God in creation. And again, I have to say, creation was created for God. Which brings us to the second word, God's providence. Now that's an old word, and it means God's governing and preserving of all things. God is over everything. One modern song by Sovereign Grace says, he guides the galaxies above, yet bends to hear our every prayer. You know, think of the universe. Think of how, you know, it's can't get your head around. It's incomprehensible how grand and big it is. And God created that to show us his power, his glory, his majesty, his infinity. And yet, God guides us, and God loves us, and God knows the very things in our hearts. He guides our steps, the book of Proverbs says. And he brings all things, again, for his glory and our good. And he preserves everything, and he preserves everything to that end. And yes, when times are good, it's easy to believe that and say, praise God, when we get the job offer we want, when we get the house we want, when we're cured of an illness. But sometimes God's providence can be difficult. We're going through a very rough time, and many of you are going through a very rough time. God is over everything that's happening right now. And everything that God does, he does as a gracious Heavenly Father, even during these dark times of the pandemic, even during sickness, sorrow, sadness, dark times and immorality. God is still on the throne, and he is still sovereign over everything. This is what God's providence means. Nothing happens. Jesus said it, even a sparrow falling doesn't happen without the will of God. He controls everything. He's over everything. Nothing happens without his say-so. Read the book of Job. Satan asked God for permission. And during dark times, as I say, it's something I struggle with. I've shared that with many of you before. It's hard to see how God works in all this. But I'll tell you something. A year ago, J.I. Packer passed away. It was July 2020, and I was reading his book called Knowing God. And he said, in the book, he said, the world doesn't look like it's governed by an all-powerful, all-loving, all-kind God sometimes. There's disease, there's natural disasters, there's earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes, there's climate change, there's child disease, all those things. And we believe that there's a God who loves us, who cares for us, who's kind and generous and loving over all that. So I suppose what I'm saying is we have to trust and obey. Some of you are going through a really, really hard time. And no answer to what we call the evil. But all I have to say is that God loves you, God cares for you, and God's promised to be with us in all this. That's the ultimate promise of comfort, that God has promised to be with us. I remember hearing a story after the Second World War. Two British soldiers were walking through Italy, and a Jewish man stopped them, and he'd been in the concentration camps, and he said to them, this Jewish man said to the British soldiers, he said, thank you. He said, why? We didn't stop the Holocaust from happening. We wish we could, but we didn't. And the Jewish man said, yes, I know, but you were there. You were coming. And as long as we knew you were there, we had hope, even in the concentration camp. Even in the concentration camp. That really touched me. Because the fact that God is with us that is the ultimate comfort in dark times. You know, David says in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear because you're with me. As long as God was with him, he has hope. And so it is with us. I don't understand or know why God does things the way he does. But I believe that God's providence, God's ruling of everything, is a display of his wisdom. Because ultimately, the aim is to make us like Christ and to bring glory to his name. Which is the topic of this talk, how creation and providence show God's wisdom. We will know one day when we see God's face and all things will be made new. But till then, we have to trust and obey. So the first two are ways of showing God's wisdom, our creation and providence, as I've said. But they're to do with the natural world, how God guides things. The third one is where we see God fully and truly, and it's in redemption. And redemption is God saving us through Jesus Christ. This is where we see God in all his fullness, in all his glory, in all his wisdom, in all his holiness, his righteousness, his kindness, his mercy, his tenderness, his grace. We see it in the work of redemption, in God rescuing sinners and bringing them to himself. So when you are having a hard time, when you wonder what is life all about, when you don't know where to turn, look at the cross. Look at the cross. That's where we see God clearly and as fully as we can. We look at the cross. At Life Group a few weeks ago, Eric was telling us of a conversation he had. And someone said, why did God allow sin into the world? And Eric said, and I agree, to make himself known. God allowed sin to show us who he is, to show us his holiness, his righteousness, his justice, and to show us his grace, his love, and his mercy. We see all of that at the cross because of sin. Because our sins put Christ on the cross. And there we see that God is righteous. He will not allow his law to be dishonored. So Christ honored it in his life and his death and his resurrection. We see his holiness. A holy sacrifice for sin was offered. We see his justice. Price was paid. And we see his mercy, his grace, and his love. It's there for all of us. An old hymn says, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. That's what the cross is. And that's where we see God at his fullest. And that's how we see God's wisdom. God, in the book of Romans, God is praised as the only wise God. He's praised as the only wise God all the way through the book of Romans. But in two places particularly, Romans 1-11 deals with how God saved, deals with what God did, how God solved the ultimate problem, human sin. You know, he goes right through, he basically says we're all sinners, we've all broke God's law, and we're all done. But then Jesus came and rescued us. And then he works out what all that means and what that does for us. And then at the end of chapter 11, he praises God's wisdom. And then from chapters 12 to 16, it says, how then shall we live? And then at the end, again, he praises God, the only wise God. Because this is how God's wisdom is seen, in God saving us and in God making us more like Jesus through our life. That's it, ultimately and truly. So we see These are the three examples: God's works, God's creation, God's providence and redemption. He shows us his wisdom in all of them, but most truly through the face of Jesus Christ, because Colossians 2 verse 3 says, in him are all fullness of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Because Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So what are we going to do? What difference should this make to our lives? Well, if you want to be wise, come to Jesus Christ this very day. Be united to him by faith. Repent of all your sins. Say sorry to him and ask him to be your saviour. Because in Christ, he is our wisdom. He is our righteousness, our holiness and our redemption. He is the fullness of God for every need, and only he can satisfy. So come to Christ this very day. If you want to be wise, pray. Again, I use the analogy, a young engineer goes to work, he'll ask the older engineers for help. Well, we've got God. James 1 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. The God who gives liberally, who gives freely, will shower wisdom upon you. And of course, remember, God's wisdom is found in the Bible. It's given to make us wise to salvation. How we're to be saved and how we're to live. So yeah, go to the Bible to become wise. The book of Proverbs is a great place to start if you want to see what wisdom is like. Again, wisdom is, as with God, it is with us. It's the moral application of knowledge. So the book of Proverbs talks about how you to talk. Yeah, because if we know God is holy, and we know that we are to be holy, that should make us wise in how we talk. Yeah? So read your Bible and pray and ask God to make you wise. And while you're praying, praise God, who is wise, for what he's done. I've just explained pretty simply and feebly God's works of creation, providence and redemption. Give thanks and praise to God for how he's revealed himself in creation, in his law, in his scripture, in conscience, but ultimately in the face of Jesus Christ our Lord, who is altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful. He is the one in whom all fullness is found, in whom all joy, blessedness and peace is found, and indeed eternal glory is only found in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, we talked about this at church chat on Monday, and I just want to say this. God's providence has a lot to do with God's will, how God works in life. And we should give thanks for when we can look back and say, yeah, that happened to me and it was bad, but it caused this to happen, so praise God. Providence, one of the Puritans says, should be read backwards. You know, some of the languages, we go from left to right in a book. Some languages go from left to right, so they're reading it backwards, we might say. That's how it is with providence. We can only read it after the event. I hear a lot of people speculating why God has allowed coronavirus. And here's the answer. We don't know. We don't know. I don't, and some of you have said, why would God, to me, why would God allow this to happen to me? I don't know. But what I do know, which is found in Scripture, is that God loves you, that God sent his Son to die for you, and that God is making us all like him. And so we will glory in fellowship with God forever. So if you want to know God's will for your life, start with the Bible, read it, pray over it, and put it into practice. All those verses that talk about try and work out God's will for your life, they're not talking about God's providence, how I've described it. Which college should I go to? Which uni should I go to? Which job should I take? No, they're talking about applying the Bible to your life, practicing that, and so you become wise. And then when you make a decision, you'll make an informed, sanctified common sense, dependent on God for guidance, decision. But those verses about working out what God's will is, they're talking about the moral will revealed in Scripture, how to apply it. Don't go trying to read God's providence. We don't know. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord. What's revealed belongs to us. What's revealed is in Scripture. So again, to conclude where we started, Jesus is the wisdom of God and his wisdom for us. So if you want to be wise, if you want to know God's plan for your life, come to him this very day, because it's God's will that all be saved and come to a knowledge of the God found in Jesus Christ our Lord, who is the only wise God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen.